Amen. All right. Time for children's sermon. Everyone, come on up. All you little kids, come on up here. I feel like Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, little ones. My little munchkins, come here. All right. How are you guys doing today? Good. Okay, good. Lukewarm, right? Good. Okay, cool. I got a little question for you. Let's say that someone had a treat that you wanted, okay? Someone had a little treat that you wanted, okay? Now, there's three ways that you could have that treat from them. And I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to quiz you guys after this, okay? What these three ways are. The first way is to take it, right? You could take that thing from them, right? You could steal it almost. Now, is that a good way to get that treat from them? Okay, good. That's a no. Okay. It's not a good way. So the first way is to take it. Okay. The second way is you could earn it. Now, what do I mean by earn it? That means you could, let's say your parents had a treat for you, you could go clean your bedroom, right? Because then you're earning it. You know what I mean? You kind of, or sometimes if you're at a store, you could go pay for something. That's earning it, right? That's an okay to get something, right? That's not bad. Is it the best way? We'll just wait for the third way. The third way is to receive, or it's just given to you, okay? So when it's just given to you, there's nothing expected in return. You just get it. That's all there is. You receive it. You just take it from them, okay? So those are the three ways. So what were the three ways again? I said the first way was to steal it, to take it from them without asking, right? The second way was to earn it, yeah? And the third way was to receive it, to just have it given to you. Now, which way is the best, do you think? Yeah, receiving it, it's the best way, right? Like sometimes when you're sick at home and you know you can't earn it and your mom just comes and gives you care and you receive it, right? Your mommy or your daddy will feed you some nice chicken noodle soup. You receive it because you need it, right? So that's like receiving it, right? God wants to give his love to you, wants to give his grace to you. He wants you just to receive it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to take it from him. You can't take it from him. And so that's kind of the lesson I have for today, because today we're going to be doing communion with the church, and so we're going to talk about receiving. How does that sound? Receiving, does that sound pretty good? Receiving God's love?
Yes.
Okay, good. And here's the most important part of receiving. Here's the most important part. You got to say what after you receive it?
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to say thank you. You got to be grateful. Thankfulness, that's the most important part, right? All right, guys, that's my lesson for today. You guys can go to Children's Church. Who's leading children? You can go with Christy to Children's Church. See you guys.
I love that anthem, by the way. That's one of my favorites. Can't help but like sing along because it's just as good. Oh. I wonder how many of us really want to be the potter's clay, though. Do we really want to be molded and shaped and formed, or do we want to do that ourselves? Isn't that kind of the kicker of it? We say that we would like to be made this way, but we often don't enjoy being made that way, or we don't make ourselves available to be shaped that way. Is that fair? I mean, think about this. It's time to go walking. Look at that. Alrighty. So here's the thing. We have expectations of our lives. Some of them have been given to us by our parents or by circumstances, by what we watch, by what we read, by the history of who we are. We've been given that there are certain expectations. This is the way the world works. We have experiences. As we're growing up, like the kids, some of you took it, you earn it, you receive some things. There's differences in the way the world works, and we learn by experience. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes it feels good, but we get a sense of how things operate. And then when we encounter our faith, when we encounter promises that God has made for us, when we begin to hear the story of our creation and our what our life means and how we relate to God and how we're called to relate to one another. If we're anything like the gospel and the people that Jesus encountered, it doesn't fit together as nicely as we would hope. Is that fair enough? That, well, this is supposed to be like this, and we hear promises that seem almost beyond our ability to comprehend or to envision. So we tend to set that part of our life and those experiences off to the side, and we call it church or our religion, something that we come and pay attention to on Sundays, if that's our habit, or it becomes relevant to us when we are a little bit desperate, maybe we're sick or circumstances in the rest of our life have changed and we feel anxious and uncertain. There are those moments of great joy that we might encounter and celebrate together, but for the most part, I think we would be like the folks that Jesus encounters in the Gospels. We see things one way. Jesus tells us that we're not seeing things clearly, and we have some conflict. We have some abrasive encounters. Now, one way we get over that as the church is we sing hymns and anthems. We read prayers. We read scripture that says, make us this way. Shape us this way. Help our life to look this way. Help me understand and see things as you would. Let me trust in your promises. And we even affirm that we trust in these things. But we know that when we move away from there, or even in that moment, we are somehow keenly aware that that isn't exactly how we are at the moment, even if we say we want to be. Can we, church, come to that acknowledgement? Would it be all right and would not be fearful that you would be zapped by lightning if we actually acknowledge that there are a lot of times the things that we say and pray and sing and read in the gospel and the things that we even know we should do, we simply don't find ourselves feeling that way or understanding it or applying that in other parts of our life? Is that a fair statement? I can say that. I'm a pastor, but I'm saying, look, I get there's all sorts of inconsistencies, and it is annoying and aggravating, but they're there. The first step probably is to come to that realization. The people in the story, this crowd that's been following Jesus, that's the first thing that Jesus brings to their attention. He tells them exactly why they're there. It's not what they say, but Jesus knows their heart. And he says, let's get this straight. You're not here because you've seen some sort of sign from God. You're not here because you want your life to be shaped into spiritual well-being. You're not here because you even understand that you've seen God. You're here because you liked eating bread that I gave you and you're hungry again. Right? Isn't that what we just read? Right? They followed him across. They'd been together for the feeding of the 5,000. We didn't read that part, but in our scriptures, Jesus has provided miraculously bread and food for 5,000 people, and they ate it, and they said, this is great, and then they went to say, Jesus, we have a great idea. You know, it is really hard to get food every day in our life. We work really hard for our stuff, and we have this, just listen to me, Jesus, this is going to be great. Listen, you can make food appear out of nowhere. What if, just listen to me, what if you become our king and you take on the responsibility of giving this food to us every single day? Wouldn't that be awesome, Jesus? You make bread appear, then we wouldn't have to work as hard. So let's, please, come be our king. Be our king who's in charge of giving us what we want. That's what they've said. And Jesus heard that and went the other direction. He went to the mountain by himself because they were going to force him to be king. But that's what they're saying. You can give me what I want. I want you. I'm going to kind of catch you and make you be responsible for me. And we do this with our relationship with God. I think a lot of us in our faith journey at some point say, I want you to give me what I want. I've been faithful, I go to church, I profess my belief in you, I've been baptized, I take communion. Now, doggone it, I'm calling in the chips right now, Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life in this manner. Give me what I want when I want it. Fair enough? I don't know if you and I trust each other enough, because I'm not seeing enough nods. Come on, you. Come on, church. Seriously. You know this. Let this be the truth, because Jesus says you got to know this first and foremost. And God says, please understand that I know this about you, and it's why I love you, and it's why I'm willing to do everything for you to know that I love you, because I know how hard this is. And even though you chose to make it hard, even though you separated from me, even though all of the opportunities to come and be with me, you tend to reject, I still love you. But please, because I love you, I want you to understand the truth. You didn't come after me because you saw God and you saw a way to become amazing and eternal. You came after me because you were hungry and you saw a chance to get more food. But I'm going to tell you something, Jesus said. Stop working for the food that is perishable and receive the food that is eternal. And everybody went, what? Right? And already we've lost because Jesus has gone into metaphor and it's really crazy. What's going on here, Jesus? But let's play with this for a minute. What Jesus is saying is that your hearts and your focus and your desire and your energy and the makeup that you have and what you've been taught and how you have experienced the world to this point, it all says you need to get this stuff because you think it's what you want and what you need. And I'm saying there's something better. Jesus says the way it used to be as you were separated from God is that you worked and toiled and all you could even imagine was getting the food for the next day, filling your belly, chasing after what entertains you, getting whatever fills your ego, getting the accomplishments, the sense of well-being, the security, whatever it was that you in this amazing human machine of acquiring could want, that's what you focused on. But that energy, the desire that you have, this capability, can you vaguely remember as a child or interacting with a child how strategic, powerful, and convincing they or you could be when you really wanted something from your parents? I mean, you wanted the toy, you wanted the candy, you wanted the attention, you wanted the opportunity, you wanted to stay to friends, you didn't want to eat this, you didn't want to get that. Whatever. Are you with me? Do the kids just go, I would very much appreciate if I may have that toy that's on the aisle as we're driving by? And mom says, no, I don't think so this time. I said, well, no problem, Mom. Let me just be quiet and entertain myself. Is that how it works? I'd like you to eat the vegetables. I don't want them. It'll be good for you. Very well. Let me eat them. Right? This is not how it works. What do kids do? Give me. I want it. Or how about this? I'm going to wait till you're in the right mood. I'm going to butter you up. Mom, I cleaned the room. Mom, did you see I did? I love you, Mom. Oh, Mom, give me a hug. I want another hug. It's so good. Can I have this? You're the best mom ever. If you would give me just this one thing, I would never ask for anything else as long as I live. Are these fair tactics? If you only loved me, you would just give me this one small thing. All right. They're great. We're great. Why do we have that ability and that skill? We have that ability and skill because at the heart of our hearts, what we were created to desire, what our souls, our bodies, our everything wants is to be at one with God, to have complete sense of love and purpose and be filled where there is nothing that I could possibly want other than what I have in connection with God. That's the truth of who we are. But it is not how we act, and it's not even how we're very much equipped to identify. Think about all the things that we will buy, acquire, get, chase after, sacrifice for, relationships, money, stuff, ego, be important, be better than somebody else, be whatever, all of that stuff that we just get. Have you ever watched a dog who will eat anything? Are you amazed I mean, like one dog, there were like 55 things they pulled out of his stomach. None of them were edible. We go, oh, that's amazing. Dogs aren't even close to what humans can acquire. Their appetite for everything and anything, our appetite and desire for anything and everything is almost insatiable. And think about, Jesus is not just talking about food. I'm talking about, as Jesus is, stuff of life and feeding ourselves and devouring anything that we set our mind to. But it's rare that we find that connection with God. And we don't even know that we want it. Well, this passage is so filled with that conversation that, and it's the longest passage in the Gospels that kind of connects, I mean, 60-some verses. But I invite you today to think about this idea of desire. When did you, last time, did you ask yourself why you wanted something that you wanted? I'm going to get that. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to go after that. I'm going to do this. This is where the... When's the last time you said, I wonder why I want to do that? I wonder what that will make a difference in my life. I wonder how that will fit into who I am and who God wants me to be. We rarely ask those questions. We devour, we get, we go. Because I think, as Caleb and I were talking, in some sense it's this attraction that we can't even identify. Like a magnet we've got little pieces of magnets that bring us, that draw us to something, but it's either strong, not a strong enough pull, or we haven't let go enough to be drawn to that, but we try to grab a hold of anything else that we possibly can to fill that void. But Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the thing that you truly, truly desire. You've asked me to point once again to God, to point to a sign, to show you something that is like God or says God is out there. And Jesus says, I am that. There's no more substitutes. There's no more, well, maybe if you show me that there's a chance. No, Jesus goes, I am the chance. I'm the real thing. And what I've come to do is to reunite with you. In fact, he goes so much as to use the language of eating my body, drinking my blood, ingesting me, being into me. And we say, well, what do we have to do to get that stuff, to get that connection? And he says, you don't have to do anything, but the work of God is to believe in me, to align yourself with me, to allow your desire to be the same as my desire. In fact, church, we pray for this almost every time. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, right? Think about this. Our Father who is beyond imagination, our Father that is so beautiful and majestic in himself that the very feeling of God overwhelms me. There's nothing God, that's who you are. You are the ultimate of everything. You're in heaven, but you're here. All creation sings of you. This, our Father, who is that. Thy kingdom come. Your will that is in all creation, I want that to come and be in myself. Be who I am. That's what we pray. Come and dwell in me. Let that kingdom and will be my kingdom and will. Let me not desire anything greater than you, but let me desire you fully. That's what we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? Here on earth, in me, as part of creation, just like the rest of creation is doing and yearning to do. Restore that, we pray. Give us this day our what? Bread. Did anybody hear bread today? So here, let's think this, because we're going to do communion. Wrap this way. Give us our daily bread. How many of you guys think about that in terms of transforming the way that you live when you pray that prayer? You might say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for all of the stuff that I earned on my own this week. Thank you, Lord, for, ultimately, at some point, providing those groceries that I worked so hard to acquire. Most of us in this room are not finding ourselves in food deficiencies and all of that sort of in crisis. So we have plenty. So we say, yeah, thank you. Just a heads up, God. I know you're at work in the midst of this, but quite honestly, I've got this handled. I got all I could need and what I want I can buy. It's awesome. Thanks for that daily bread. But Jesus is saying, wait a minute, this bread isn't like that you're hungry for tomorrow. Yeah, I'll give you those things. God has given you that from the beginning. It does all belong to him. Give us our daily bread. Lord, what I'm saying to you is that I need you. I can't get you. I can't make you. I can't earn you. I can't create you. I can't justify you. I can't do any of that. Give yourself to me, and I want to receive you. I want to look at life as all things that I've received and be given, that my will is like your will, and that you've given me bread. You've given me your wisdom. You've given me your guidance. You've given me your love. You've given me your sense of security. You've given me your faith. I can divorce all sorts of things that have ruled my life out of fear and ego and want and desire and greed and all of the things that we name as sins. All of that is pushed aside. Give me my daily bread, because the daily bread is exactly the thing that fulfills all of those. That's what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Transform me, mold me, shape me, make me, like the potter's clay. Do that. Do we have the guts to do that and pray for that? What would happen if we stopped thinking that it is simply an exchange of a few commodities and started to believe that what God has done has reorganized and rearranged and redeemed all things? That when we come to the table, as we will in just a couple minutes, when we come to the table in sacrament, what we have been given is forgiveness and acceptance and wholeness. In a word, life, both now and forever. And that this forgiveness and this acceptance and this like, these things, they can't be gained or earned. We can't coerce or accomplish these things. Like love, they can only be given as a gift by one person to another, or in this case, as God to us. Baptism, sacrament, communion, sacrament, these are God's external words of love and forgiveness. If when we gathered, what we came to receive and to ingest and to sign on for and to let go of all of the other stuff, because the proof is simply not a sign, but it is Jesus Christ dwelling within us, that we literally take into our bodies, that's the proof, that's the work, that's the transformation, and that is the hope. Now, every pastor can preach that message, and we've heard it a million times. I'm going to ask you to risk something. I want you to risk all of that knowledge, all of that things that you know and believe and profess and we've practiced all our life, and I want you to risk asking why. Ask God, why do I do this? Why is this important? What does this mean to me? What are you asking me to give up? What are you promising to deliver when I come and align myself with you? What transformation is it doing in me? Ask those things, challenge those things, because until we stop playing at church, and I mean that in the nicest sense, that we do it but we don't really understand or attach ourselves to why, it doesn't fill us. We sort of hold on to our side and say, change everything, and if you loved me, you just leave me exactly the way I am and fix everybody else. That's what we say a lot of times. Let communion be different this time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This carries over as we think these last few parts of our service. These prayers, we want God to act and to move. Have we envisioned God acting and moving and making these things as he wants them to be? We want fix, heal us, take care of us. All these things God has promised. So when you come and are invited to the table, why don't you receive these as truth? This is what God has given you, these things that we want and desperate. Please give us. God says, yes, I've given you that. In spades, this is amazing what has happened. Will you just receive the gifts in these prayers. And imagine what life would be as we change because of it. The prayers are printed. Some of our folks in the bulletin. We also want to lift up the Ellis family. Reese Bowen, Beth Tuck, Ann Cashwell, Peggy Simmons, Tom Holsclaw and his family as well. Continue to lift up Caleb and Triana and in their they'll be reunited for a while, but certainly Triana's dad is he is in the midst of his cancer, and others that come to mind. And as we prepare to offer prayers collectively, risk asking God. What can I expect? What will be different? Give me this bread of life. And then be willing to see what happens when you receive it. Gracious, magnificent Lord of all creation, thank you for our lives, for your love, for the community of faith, for your act in Jesus Christ to redeem us, for your loving kindness to let us know that we need redeeming, and for the very fact that you graciously give to us all that we need. We do get hungry, we do get thirsty, and our stomachs growl and our throats get dry. Lord, do not let us be stuck with such limited imaginations of your love, but to be expanded so that not only do we trust and see all of your provision in everything and in each way and act accordingly, but that we would be inspired to the wisdom and the truth and the vision and the love and the connection and the overwhelming desire for you and for our brothers and sisters to be united, that hunger would cease and no one would be thirsty because we couldn't stand to let one person in your creation be in need. That's the bread of life. Help us to be one in that. Do care and bring about healing, and let us glorify you and give thanks for the healers in our community and the places to care for one another. Strengthen the families, be the community and with persons that we can stand in the midst of the indescribable and frightening things and know that we are loved, know that we are not alone, and know that our future is in you, and that you will never let us go. And as we prepare for this holy connecting in sacrament, challenge us and inspire us as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.